Bibles, please, to Exodus chapter 34, page 117 in your Schofield Reference Bible, starting with verse 27, we'll read through verse 30. These four verses, 27, 28, 29, and 30, the 29th verse, is the text verse for this morning's message. Let's all stand, please, as is our custom here at First Baptist. We'll read these four verses responsively. And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water, and he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the 10 commandments. And it came to pass, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the 2 tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And let's pray. Father, it's been wonderful. We got to be with our church family again this morning as we partook of thy supper. We got to blend our hearts and minds in fellowship with thee as we remembered the beaten body, the shed blood, and your sacrifice for us. Now we get to pay attention this morning as your word is preached. It's a privilege to be here. Help us to exercise that privilege by gaining that which you would want us to have from the service. Quieten our hearts and help our minds to be focused upon the preached word. In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning I promise you, as I always do at Lord's Supper Day, it is now 11:40. I promise you that I'll be finished not 1 minute after 12:10, and I promise you, as always, we'll be out of here before 12:30, and I may even give you a few minutes back. I'm going to speak this morning on one of the 3 most important truths that I ever learned concerning the Christian life. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about the plan of salvation, the blood of Christ, the King James Bible. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about as far as living the Christian life is concerned. This just may be one of the greatest things I ever learned. Most folks never learn what I'm going to give you this morning. Most successful people never learn what I'm going to give you this morning. The title of my message is Self-Improvement versus Others' Improvement. I wouldn't give you a dime for all the self-improvement books in the world. Not a dime. Wouldn't give you a dime for all the conferences they're having around the country. Self-improvement. Hang self-improvement. Try to help others improve. Your own improvement will take care of itself. I do want you to listen to me because I want to help you. That's all. Holy Father, I pray you to help me this morning as I try to help those whom I've tried to help for almost 40 years. As long as Moses was in the wilderness, as long as the Israelites wandered in the wilderness, 40 years I've tried to help these people. I pray you'd help me again this morning just to add a little bit to their lives, please. But I cannot help unless they listen, and unless you help me. So make me a conduit through which can flow your blessing and truth today. In Jesus' name, amen. In order to explain to you what I'm preaching about this morning, I must be a bit repetitious in telling you a story that I may introduce the message. It is no secret to you that for the first year of my ministry, I had nobody walk the aisle for salvation. I was preaching way out in the country, hardly ever had anybody come to visit the services. Our attendance was about, we had 19 members, and that was a pretty good crowd for us to have on a given Sunday. And then my second pastorate, the church that is building is out here on our college campus now, the Grange Hall Baptist Church of Marshall, Texas. Something happened to me. My father died a drunkard's death. And as you've heard me say, and I say all this to make one statement you'll understand in a moment, I went to his grave and I stayed there for I did not know how long. After he was buried, I went back to his grave. And somebody said I was there for 3 days. I do not know. But that's what they said. I lost all track of time. And something happened to me. I did not know what it was. Nor did I tell anybody anything that happened to me. The next Sunday, all heaven broke loose in our church. And from that moment forward, there's not been a single Sunday of my ministry but somebody has been saved through our little ministry. It was many years after that I used to tell the story. And I never even dawned on me what might have happened. Never. I was talking to Dr. John Rice. And he said, Dr. Hiles, you often tell about the experience that you had on your father's grave. He said, you know what I think that was? And I said, no, sir, I don't. He said, I think that was the first time that you were filled with the Holy Spirit. I wasn't one of those that tried to get a time so I'd have a good illustration for a sermon to tell you when I was filled. I did not know. I am only assuming that that was the time, but I did not tell anybody, nor did I realize that was what had happened, if in fact it did. Moses, don't leave me now, Moses had gone up to Mount Sinai. 6 times he went up to the mount. The first time he went to get a covenant from God. And God gave to Moses a covenant. Now wade through the mud with me and we'll get to the pavement after a while. He went up to the mountain the first time and God gave him a covenant. That covenant was that the Israelites were God's people and that he was their God in a unique way. Second time Moses went, he went to the mountain for God to tell him to tell his people to separate themselves. Now that's something ought to happen to every person that's a child of God. Moses said, you're my people. And then he said, in the second, clean up your act. That's what he said. And separation is always the second thing that's supposed to come to a child of God. The third time Moses went to Mount Sinai, he went and got a reminder from God to the Israelites to obey the commandments. The fourth time he took Nadab and Abihu and 70 elders with him. And after a while they had left and Moses was there for 40 days and 40 nights. And that is when he received the law on the tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments, if you please, and the instructions for the tabernacle and its worship. The fifth time that Moses went before God was the time when after Moses had come back and found Aaron had set up a golden calf, and the folks are worshiping that golden calf. And Moses broke the tablets of stone because they had broken the first one. And so he goes back to God, and don't forget this now, he pleads with God for his people. Now, Moses doesn't go back for a thing for himself. He goes back for one purpose, and that is to plead with God for his people. The sixth time that Moses goes to the mount, he goes to get the new tablets of stone, all which were written the same Ten Commandments written on the aforementioned that were broken. But I want you to notice this. The Bible says when Moses came back from the mount, he wist not that his face shone. He wist not. The people saw that his face shone, was shining. But the Bible says Moses did not even know his face was shining. Now, if Moses had been a charismatic, he would have started a series of lectures on how to get a shine. You send me $10, I'll bless this little book, and it'll tell you how to have a shiny face. I can tell you, just don't put any powder on it, and you'll have a shiny face. But the charismatic would have written a book on, oh, God, give me a shine. Now, Moses didn't even know his face shined. Did you know when you're what you ought to be, you won't know what you're what you ought to be? I almost entitled the sermon this morning, Quit Trying to Improve. Quit Trying to Improve. Then I gave it another title I mentioned a while ago, Self-Improvement versus Others' Improvement, if you please. Now then,
Let me apply what I'm trying to say this morning. Years ago, I quit trying to be a good preacher. Oh, I had the dreams that every young preacher has. I was going to be the next Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the next William Jennings Bryan, as far as oratory was concerned. And when I was a boy, as you heard me tell, my father had no use for me, had no time for me, never tossed me a ball, never shot a basket with me, never threw a football with me, never took me fishing. He didn't have time for me. And I had the dream of being someday a model father. My mother and father did not have a good marriage. My father was, he left us when I was a boy and would come and go. And most of the time, my mother reared me alone. And I had a dream of someday being a good husband. And as a young man, I wanted to be a good pastor and a good preacher. But one day, I decided that I would quit trying to be a good preacher. I'm not interested today in being a good husband. I'm not interested in being a good father. I'm not interested in being a good preacher. I'm not interested in being a good friend. I'm not interested in being a good pastor. See, it doesn't matter what I am. I say to people, you're chancellor of Howells Anderson College. That doesn't matter to me. The thing that matters to me is not my improvement, but being used for your improvement. Hey, there's going to come a day sometime where I'll find out whether I was a good pastor or not. But until then, I'll forget it and just do what I can to meet your needs. I don't know if I'm a good preacher. And by the way, I don't care if I'm a good preacher. I've preached with all of them. I've preached with Dr. John Rice. I've followed Dr. Rice. I've followed R.G. Lee when he preached Payday Someday. I've followed Dr. Bob Jones Sr. I've followed Lester Olof when he preached Pawing in the Valley and that great dissertation that says nothing about the Bible but an awful lot of things interesting to hear. And I followed Joe Henry Hankins. I followed B.R. Lakin. I followed G.B. Vick. I followed Bob Jones Sr. I followed R.G. Lee. I followed Dr. John Rice, Dr. Bill Rice, all the great preachers. And I used to worry and fret. I don't care anymore. Because there came a day when I decided I don't care if I preach a good sermon or not. Jim Lyons said to me one of the greatest compliments I've ever had in my life. Jim Lyons worked for me for a number of years as my associate pastor. And somebody said, what's the secret to Dr. Howell's ministry, to his preaching? And Jim Lyons said to Dr. Howells, a sermon is not an end in itself. It's just a greasy wrench with which he's trying to fix something. I don't care if I'm a good preacher or not. I just want to give my life and giving you what you need. My wife will tell you, I don't care where we are, what I'm doing. I've got a few minutes off. I grab my Bible. I grab my notes and then try to figure out what you need. I have a little file I carry everywhere I go in my briefcase. In that file, I have the needs that I think that I there's some truths that I think you need. And my life is built on trying to meet your needs. Now you listen. You quit trying to be a good wife and try to meet the needs of your husband. Doesn't matter. Quit working on yourself. Quit going to these stupid seminars, how to be a good wife. Oh, fully on that. You just study your husband and love the fire out of him and say, I want him to have all his needs met. And one of these days, there'll be a judgment seat when it'll all be decided whether or not you're a good wife. And the same thing's true about other matters. I quit trying to be a good friend. I don't know whether I'm a good friend or not. Have no idea. And don't care whether I'm a good friend or not. I just want to meet the needs of my friends. And anybody that knows me will tell you that's true. I'm not interested in being a good friend. I'm interested in the people that I love having their needs met. Here comes Moses from the mountain. He didn't say, I've come back to the mountain. I've had a new experience with God. I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. My face is shining. Look at my face. You can have a face like mine. Nobody wants a face like mine. But you can have a face like mine. Moses didn't know it. By the way, two times in the Bible it says something about the power of God, wist not. First it says Moses wist not that he got it, and second it says Samson wist not when he lost it. The fullness of the Holy Spirit is not the important thing. The important thing is what it leads you to do. I mean, I heard Dr. Bob Gray said the other day, I'm not called to preach. Well, I've heard him preach. I agree with him. He'll get this tape and he'll like what I just said and he'll preach this sermon next week. But he said, I'm not even called to preach. He said, I just one time heard Dr. Rice and Dr. Howard preach in a conference in South Bend and said, good night. What am I doing being an accountant for the Ford Motor Company or General Motors? What am I doing that? I'd like to do that too. Let me tell you something, brother. boy on how to become a good friend. You just love the people that God has given you for friends, and you examine their needs and do all you can to meet their. I don't care whether I'm a good friend or not. I just want to meet the needs of those I love. I quit trying to be a good husband. His house will vouch for that. I never think about that. I just want that little girl in the front seat of the choir to be loved like she ought to be loved. And I want her to feel that she's as beautiful as I think she really is. And I want her to realize that I want to meet her needs. And I tell her I love her 100 times a day. She tells me once every year or two. And no, she doesn't. But yes, she does. I mean, no, she doesn't. I mean, I don't. She tells me often. But anyway, but I don't care. I am not trying to be Mr. Husband. I just want to meet the needs of that little gal out there. Moses comes back from the mountain. He's been with God. By the way, while he's up there, didn't ask for a thing for himself. Oh, God, give me power. Oh, God, bless my ministry. Oh, God, help me as I... No, sir. He said, oh, God, my people have sinned. He said, my people have built a golden calf, and they've worshipped in false worship, and they're singing like they shouldn't sing, and doing what they shouldn't do, and dressing like they shouldn't dress. Oh, God! And he won't say, he said, dear God, if you won't forgive my people, he said, just blot my name out of the book. I'm willing to die and go to hell if you'll save my people. Blot me out of the book. It doesn't matter whether you're a good mother or not. You just live for those kids. It doesn't matter whether you're a good husband or not. You just live for that wife. It doesn't matter whether you young preachers are good preachers or not. You quit your preach. We're worried about your good sermons, and you get that old greasy rinse, and you try to bless the people and feed the people and give the folks what they need. I don't know whether I'm a good pastor or not. I quit trying. All I know is that I have 147 people a week come to my office that I try to help. I don't know whether I'm a good pastor or not. I just know before I preach a funeral service, I go to the home late at night, sometimes there a few before, of the family and sit out in front of the house and pray for God to bless those people whom I love. I don't know whether I'm a good pastor or not. I just know that every time I have a wedding, I go to the home of each of the bride and groom if I know where they live, and I try to find it. For example, when Tina Staten lost her husband, I drove out to the house late one night. I sat there in front of the house, and I said, God, bless those children, and bless that little widow, and give her strength. I mean, and I'm trying to say, I don't know. I never have tried to be a good pastor. I just want to meet the needs of the people. I don't know whether I'm a good pastor or not. I just know that I go to the homes of people who are sick. And sometimes I'll, in fact, the other day I went to a hospital, the other night, went to a hospital and drove around the hospital, and somebody up there in our church was bad sick, and it was late at night, and I couldn't go visit them. I just drove around the hospital saying, oh, God, be with them and bless the family. I don't know. I'm not interested in being a good pastor. Moses didn't know his face was shining. He just knew he had gone to God on behalf of his people and came to his people on behalf of God. That's all he knew. Ladies and gentlemen, forget your self-improvement and try to improve those that you love.
Self-improvement is stumble upon the pathway of others' improvement. I realize that my days are numbered here. You've heard me say this again and again. I realize that I never know when the last sermon is going to be preached here. I never know when the last next plane. Miss Howes and I were on a plane the other day. We were flying to Hawaii, and we had a stopover in Salt Lake City, I think it was, wasn't it? And just before we got off the plane, I had the strangest feeling in my leg. My leg began to draw up like that, and I couldn't straighten it out. And all of a sudden, I said to myself, I'm 72. Is this it? Is this a stroke? This has been weeks ago, so don't bring me your remedies. I'm fine now. I just drank about that much whiskey in a bottle, and that cheered me up just like that. But I'll be honest with you, I got off the airplane, and I tried to get my leg straightened out. I don't know what it was, but I wondered, is this it? And I know, but here's what I want. As long as I'm behind this pulpit, I want you to feel like there's an old man up there that loves me. I want you to feel like there's an old man up there that cares for me.
I want you to feel like he gives his life to try to give me what I need. And ladies and gentlemen, you'll never get a sermon as long as you live that'll meet your need as much as what I'm giving you right now. If you forget trying to be something, quit trying to become something and lose yourself in helping those that are your friends.
I don't know. I don't know whether I'm a good father or not. I just know when that little girl back there walked out a while ago and went out of the service, I wondered, is she all right? And I said, dear God, if she's not well, help her. I don't know. I don't know if I'm a good father or not. I just want her to be happy, that's all. I do not know whether I'm a good brother or not. I never have thought about that. Not interested in being a good brother. I'm interested in Earlene Stevens having her needs met. I'm interested in her having a happy life, and I've tried to make it so. I'm just interested in her being happy in her senior years and cared for and feel secure and feel loved. I'm trying to say, Moses didn't come back down and say, hey, look at my shining face. I didn't matter. Moses had been up there on behalf of his people. He didn't know what he was. He didn't know his face was shining. And you won't know it whenever you get the power of God. You won't know it either. Because it won't matter what you have. It's what you give to others that will be your desire.
Country's full of little jack-leg preachers. Hear a sermon about Dr. Rice when he's living. He preached better when he's living. And our sermon by me or somebody else on the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I'll go out and spend a couple, 3 days somewhere and come back. I got it, I got it, I got it. When you got it, you won't know it. You'll know it when other people have it. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not interested in what I am, what title I have, or whether I'm a good this or a good that, or self-improvement. I don't know if I'm a good friend or not. I don't know if I'm a good husband or not, a good father or not, a good brother or not, a good pastor or not. That's not the issue. Quit trying to become a good wife and lose yourself in meeting the needs of your husband. Quit trying to become a good husband. You say, what's the difference? Here's what the difference is. Quit trying to self-improve and start improving other people. One of the great truths that Jesus ever taught. He that seeketh his wife shall find it. What is it? He that loseth his wife for my sake shall find it. What was he saying? He was saying, if you want to be the picture book wife, forget that. And let your husband be the picture book cared for person. If you want to be a picture book parent, all over America, check my book. I don't have any books on how to be good parents. I got a book on how to rear children. Preacher came to me, and he said, how can I be a good husband? I said, you're looking at the wrong person. You're looking at the wrong person. Forget whether you are a good husband or not, and be sure that your wife is loved, protected, feels secure, and cared for, and loved. Boy, I wish I could put this down your throat this morning. I remember that first time I preached with R.G. Lee. Scared to death. Little old Jack Hiles. 29 years old, preaching with the Prince of Preachers. And guess what he preached? Why couldn't he preach some other sermon? He preached the most famous sermon since Jesus Christ, probably, in the New Testament church. Payday someday. I've got one on salary after a while. A bonus later or something. But payday someday. Oh, listen, it's like we're looking at the Sistine Chapel in Michelangelo's Last Judgment. It's like listening to the Hallelujah Chorus sung by the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. The First Baptist Church Choir. The Moron Tabernacle Choir. But you sit there and you listen to, I induce you to Ahab. It's art with words. He held that crowd spellbound that night at the Lake Louise Conference Grounds in Tocoa Falls, Georgia. He held that crowd just like that. And I stood up on that platform and looked at my outline and I said, oh God, Jesus, even so come. Dr. Rice introduced me after R.G. Lee had preached an hour and 15 minutes on payday someday. I looked at my outline and
It looked so anemic, it needed a blood transfusion. It was called the autopsy of a dead church. And I preached this thing. I learned something that night. I preached. And I cried. And all of a sudden, God got a hold of that thing. You see, I'd prayed all night the night before, knowing that I had to follow Archie Lee. And God got a hold, and revival came. And people were saved and blessed and called to preach. And my sermon was not that big compared to a giant as far as his sermon. But the invitation came, and all of a sudden it dawned on me, my sermon is not important. It's what happens to those people out there that's important. My eloquence is not important. My events is not important. My charisma is not important. My humor, everything I want to do it. As a tool, a greasy wrench, if you please. So as I said, quit trying to be a good wife and meet the needs of your husband. Quit trying to be a good husband and meet the needs of your wife. Quit trying to be a good parent, just meet the needs of your children. In fact, quit trying to be a good Christian and lose yourself in serving Christ and others. Quit trying to be a good teacher and lose yourself in training the student. Quit trying to be a good plumber and fix the pipe. Quit trying to be a good doctor and heal the patient. Quit trying to be a good preacher and meet the needs of your people. Quit trying to be a good cook and meet the nutritional needs of your family. Quit trying to be a good farmer and tend the crop. Quit trying to be a good leader and serve the followers. Quit trying to be a good lawyer and fight for justice. Quit trying to be a good singer and bless the people. Quit trying to be a good custodian and clean the building. Just go to the mountaintop like Moses did on behalf of the people. And then go to the valley and serve the people. As I said a while ago, I'm 72. I don't know if I've been a good husband or not. Never think about it. I don't know if I've been a good pastor or not. I don't even know if I've been a good Christian or not. I don't know if I've been a good friend or not. I don't know if I've been a good father or not. I don't know if I've been a good preacher or not. I don't know if I've been a good brother or not. That's for someone else to decide. We'll find that out later. But for now, let me just provide for the needs of those I love. Self-improvement? That's a byproduct. Burn all the books on self-improvement. You go to the average bookstore. I hang around bookstores all the time. The right kind, not the kind Jeff goes to. But the right kind. I'm always looking for some old book that's on sale cheap. But I'm always looking. We were in Nassau, and I found an old used bookstore. I was always looking for them and tried to find some old book I could read, because the modern books are not compared to the old books. But they have an entire section in the average bookstore, self-improvement. Self-improvement. It's like polishing up the car and let it sit out doing nothing. Hang the polishing. I mean, just take the people where they ought to go. And so Moses comes down the mountain. Moses, is your face shining? Don't know. Don't know. Moses, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Don't know. Don't know. Moses, did God give you something? I don't know. But I've been a pharaoh on your behalf. I've been a pair pleading with God to spare you. And I even told God to bought me out of this book if he had to spare my people. That's all I know. And this morning, I hope you'll learn someday the truth I'm giving you. It doesn't matter what you are. It's whom you help. It doesn't matter what you're trying to become. It's what are you doing for other people. And so I say in closing, forget whether you're a good husband or not. And you just do everything you can to make that little gal feel loved and protected. Forget whether you're a good wife or not. Just spend your life trying to make that fellow feel like he's the greatest thing in the whole world and you serve him.
Forget whether you're a good parent or not. You just try to be what those young people need you to be. Forget whether you're a good Christian or not, and lose yourself in serving Christ. And then they'll come. You know, Paul this morning in our Sunday school lesson, he didn't say, I was an apostle who came to die. He didn't say, I was a good preacher. He said, I kept the faith. I finished the course. I fought the good fight. And so today I simply say, forget your self-improvement and spend your life in others' improvement. And then one day we'll find out just how good a Christian, a father, a husband, a wife, a friend, a preacher, a pastor, a teacher, we really were.